Welcome to Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen. And it is Tuesday, July the 16th. And here I am straight back from Washington University, where we're doing some really great things this week. And I'll have some people from WashU on at the latest next Monday, but maybe even some others here later in the week. But in the meantime, how amazing it is that really over just a couple of weeks, everything has changed again on the American political scene for this election. At one point, even I was pretty sure that Kamala would end up being the Democratic Party nominee and that Joe Biden would move on. I love Joe Biden, and a lot of people are saying we love Joe Biden, but at the same time saying maybe we should move on and get somebody young who's more able to explain what it is that we want and what has been done. But as it turns out, a quarter of Donald's year later, plus J.D. Vance, and suddenly, it looks like it's Joe Biden back again. I mean, that's just what it looks like. I don't know. I would certainly take Kamala Harris gladly. But then again, Joe Biden has been everywhere. This afternoon, very shortly, he'll be speaking to the NAACP, the national group, in Las Vegas, because all of a sudden he's talking to everybody. No fear, totally out in public. Okay, he has no choice. I mean, if he doesn't do it, they are going to replace him. But he's doing it, and pretty effectively. I say pretty effectively. Let's take a look at last night. He was on with Lester Holt, and Lester Holt pounded on him a little bit, which is what he's supposed to do. That's his job. And Joe Biden didn't exactly like all the questions. Let's face it, most candidates don't like the questions. But in the end, Biden answered. And he answered pretty effectively. I say pretty effectively because his words were good. I mean, everything that he said was what you would want him to say. He pushed back hard on the things that he didn't like. And he was correct in the things that he said. The only problem is he slurs words. He's raspy, and he's old. But he was correct in what he said, and he pushed back well. He said what he wanted to, and it came across in the right way. Sounds like he's capable of running this race. Now, remember this. There are two polls out after the debate, two of the big polls, and they say that Joe Biden leads Donald Trump by 2%. They say that Kamala Harris could win by 4%, and they say that Hillary could win by 4%, which, of course, Hillary isn't going to run, but they're just putting her out there just to take a look at the numbers. Let's see how things look. So, not surprisingly, Donald's weak. He's very weak. I know he's walking around telling everybody that he's winning by a landslide, but he's a liar, and he's not. And then on top of that, his people believe that he's winning by a landslide because they listen to every word he says. And despite the fact that they've been lied to 1,000 times or 1,000 times 1,000 times, it doesn't matter. They still believe everything he says. And I guess when he loses this election and says that he won, they'll still believe everything that he says. But he's now added an additional problem, which is so funny. I just don't understand why he did it, except for this, which we talk about all the time, and that is this whole idea that everything that Donald touches dies. So naturally, if he were going to pick one person to be his vice president, he had to pick the worst one that he could possibly get. Now, don't misunderstand. The people on the right think this is the greatest pick ever. But the people on the right are already voting for Donald Trump. And not only is he not going to win a vote, but he'll probably lose a few because of this ridiculous choice of J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance is at the very least crazy. So let's take a listen very quickly to one example of how crazy J.D. Vance really is. You want to grab this, Joe?
There's more. Cat ladies, roll it. Cat ladies.
We're effectively run in this country via the Democrats, via our corporate oligarchs, by a bunch of childless cat ladies who are miserable at their own lives and the choices that they've made. And so they want to make the rest of the country miserable, too. And it's just a basic fact. You look at Kamala Harris, Pete Buttigieg, AOC, the entire future of the Democrats is controlled by people without children. And how does it make any sense that we've turned our country over to people who don't really have a direct stake in it?
Offensive on so many levels.
So, luckily, I've heard this idiotic cat lady story enough times, so the fact that I didn't hear it, that it's okay. Let's say this. Childless cat ladies are in charge of the Democratic Party. He's attacking AOC for not having any children. He's attacking Buttigieg for not having any children. Buttigieg has children. So I don't know what that's about. And Kamala also has children. They're stepchildren and so forth. But last I checked, in the United States of America, if you have children, you've got children. But that's not even the point. The point is, he doesn't get it. He doesn't know what he's stepping into. He is causing himself and Donald J. Hitler, he's causing both of them enormous problems. And let's say this about the Hitler point, because this is very important. J.D. Vance says that Donald, well, not anymore. Yeah, not this week. But he was saying previously that Donald Trump is an American Hitler. I guess that makes J.D. Vance like Goering or Goebbels or something like that. I don't understand. I don't understand Donald's choice. I don't understand what's wrong with this lunatic, or I should call him Lunatic Junior. Why is he even in this? Doesn't he know what he's got coming? And let me say what he's got coming. And this is one of the reasons that I would guess that Kamala is determined to be the vice presidential candidate, because she jumped up today and challenged J.D. Vance to an August 16th vice presidential debate. Now, you know that she's going to destroy him. And she is going to be a very normal, assertive debater. That's what she's been all her life. She is a prosecutor, a very accomplished one, and she will do phenomenally well in this debate. Let's look at what J.D. Vance supports. Well, and when I say the first one, let me also add to this. Joe Biden's got a problem in this regard too, but not to the point that Vance and Trump do, because Vance and Trump want to raise tariffs enormously. They want high tariffs against everybody. They're going to protect American businesses, and according to Vance, they will lead the United States to a tremendous increase in jobs. Now, I've explained this a number of times, but I'm going to do it again. If you don't get the problem with tariffs, then you need to go to Google, as they say, the Google machine, and put in Smoot, S-M-O-O-T, Hawley, H-A-W-L-E-Y, Smoot-Hawley tariffs, 1930s. And you will see that everybody will tell you that those tariffs, which were supposed to accomplish the same thing back then, are viewed today as one of the primary reasons for the depth and the extreme pain that was suffered by the American people in the Depression of the 1930s. Every economist, except for a quack like Stephen Moore, but every economist would tell you, don't raise tariffs. Especially don't raise them gigantically, because if you do, you'll destroy not only the country, but because it's the United States, you could destroy the United States and the rest of the world economically. It just is stupid. But that's the first thing that J.D. Vance is talking about. Let's ramp up those tariffs. Okay, so that's the first one. Look it up, Smoot-Hawley tariffs. If you don't understand that, I get it. You didn't go to high school. Forget college. Everybody studied that. But check it out. Now, here's the second one. J.D. Vance is the leader in opposing support for Ukraine. Now, in the first place, the people of the United States in every poll overwhelmingly support giving money and arms to Ukraine. But if we're going to start listening to Trump and Vance scream that the United States gives all the money and nobody else does, I've already explained this in the last few days when NATO was operating here in the United States at their meeting. Europe actually gives more money to Ukraine than the United States. Just a fact. Just add up the numbers. Europe is giving more. I didn't say that much more, but more. Well, Trump says far less. So somebody's lying. Either I'm lying or Trump's lying. And I'll tell you this. Trump's a liar. Check it out. You can get it all on Google. Next. Immigration. Illegal drugs and Democratic voters are being delivered across our border by illegal migrants without documents. They're coming to the United States. They're bringing illegal drugs and they're bringing Democratic voters? What are they talking about? What are they talking about? You know illegals don't vote, right? If you don't have documents, you don't vote. If you come from somewhere in Central America or you come from Venezuela or one of those countries, you don't vote. Now, I know they claim everybody votes. I know they say dead people vote. None of that is true, but it's what J.D. Vance says, that these immigrants are bringing illegal drugs that are killing Americans, and they're bringing Democratic voters for the upcoming election. If this is what the campaign is about, I promise you that 2 or 4 point lead for the Democrats is going to be a double-digit lead soon enough, because except for a very small number of people, 35% maybe 38, that's it. That's MAGA, which, believe me, we're going to dump that with Donald Trump on the ash heap of American history, and it'll be all done. Okay. J.D. Vance says that the 2020 election was won by Trump and that the Democrats stole it. Now, I know Trump says it, but almost everybody else in the United States understands that's not true. Not J.D. Vance. He's on board. And he says that if he were in that position with Mike Pence, like Mike Pence was, that he would do the right thing. Unbelievable. Okay. He explains, J.D. Vance, that climate change is not only not a threat to anybody, but it's not even anything that we have created. We haven't even caused it. And I will tell you, there's an argument, a legitimate argument, that the climate change cannot be reversed at this point. That it's just gone too far. And that we're on our way to an accelerating problem that's going to destroy the planet. But that's not the same as saying that it doesn't exist and that we didn't cause it, because we did cause it and everybody knows we caused it. We caused it with fossil fuels, and this has gone on since the Industrial Revolution, and we have created a problem that's accelerating out of control. I mean, you don't have to be in Las Vegas to know that there's trouble meteorologically. So all I can tell you is be careful how far you go if you're a nut. It is possible that this is all irreversible, that we've done so much damage that it can't be fixed. And just so you understand what the damage would be that can't be fixed, is that there's an explanation that says that the oceans are now so warm and they are continuing to attract the sun's rays, warming the ocean even further, and that this is a process that, because of the great amount of water that exists in the world, that has taken on a life of its own that can't be reversed if you get rid of all the fossil fuel, it still wouldn't stop this accelerating change in climate. It's just an argument. I don't know. I'm not a meteorological genius. I didn't even take one day of meteorology in college. Nothing. I mean, I've read reports. I can tell you what they say, but I don't know. I can't tell you the answer, but I know this. Only a fool would say that we didn't cause this at all. And furthermore, if you don't understand, not just you, not just me, everybody, wherever you are, this afternoon, tomorrow, I don't care. Anybody you're looking at, anybody you're talking to, anybody you live with, any children you have, you are filled with plastic. It's all through your body. It's all through all of our bodies. It's all through everything we've got. And go into the ocean, you know, they got that big pile of plastic that is three times the size of the state of Texas. And by now, I don't know, who knows where it might be, but it's enormous. We're killing ourselves with plastic. Can you stop it? Well, I'm no expert on that either, but I'll tell you that if we stopped plastic bags at the grocery store tomorrow, it would be a good idea. Obviously, we're not going to do it. We could, but we won't. So, okay, J.D. Vance is a nutcase. He's got a lot of crazy ideas that Kamala Harris will destroy in an August 16th debate without a question. And I know that this guy has got to be chomping at the bit to get into a debate with Kamala Harris. He'll be sorry he did it after he's done. He's a pretty smart guy. He's an Ivy League educated person. And he knows much better than what he's saying. He knows that what he is telling people is a lie. And how do we know that? Because we've got him on tape saying that all of Donald's stories are a lie and that Donald is an American Hitler. He has gone on and on with this story several years ago, of course. And now, of course, he's reversed it all. And he says that the reason he reversed it is because he didn't realize that Donald Trump would be an excellent president, and he has been, according to J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance is also a dramatic, extreme opponent to abortion, but more importantly than abortion, because I've said a thousand times for sure, take abortion and get rid of it. Let's talk about the only thing that matters, women's health care. And these people, with Vance at the lead, they want to crush women's health care. They don't care. First, they're not women. I don't know. Are they married? Do they have sisters? Do they have cousins? Do any of them have a mother? They just don't care. Women's health care, women's medical procedures, it's all out. They just don't care. Now, everybody knows that Donald has recently hidden from this whole story about Project 2025, but not J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance is in 100% on this story, and all of the lunacy that he's pushing comes directly out of Project 2025 and all of the nuts that Donald had in his administration, who he then sent to work on Project 2025. And I've already run all of that. We've gone through the whole thing. I allowed you to listen to Velshi, who went section by section, reporting on all of these people that Donald placed at the Heritage Foundation to work on Project 2025, which he now says he never did. Doesn't mean he didn't do it. It just means he said that he didn't do it. Okay. What else have the brilliant Trump people done? Here's a good one. Donald called RFK Jr. and tried to talk him into dropping out of the race and supporting Donald. So in the first place, you know, Donald was going to try to attract him with crazed stories about vaccines. And, you know, RFK may be crazy. His family says he's got a bunch of screws loose, but he wasn't dumb enough to go for the Donald Trump story. And not only did he reject this effort to get him into the campaign behind Donald. I mean, Trump should have known that wasn't going to happen. But not only has he not decided to do that, but he also took a copy of a tape of the conversation with Trump and passed it out to the public and called it a leak. Essentially, he's looked at everybody and said, oh, I am so sorry. I didn't mean to leak this. How can you not mean to leak it? They taped the conversation between Trump and RFK, and it's now public. And it's really not good. It sounds terrible. It makes Donald seem even worse than he is. And it's hard to believe, because how could you be worse than he is? I guess you can't be. So that was my mistake. But honestly, it's pathetic. And you can hear it. It's out in the public now. Donald Trump begging RFK to support him for president, get his name off the ballot, and help Donald to have a better chance to win. And what would he give RFK? Some stupid support for being an anti-vaxxer? Which, by the way, just the fact that he would be willing to do that is so sad. He doesn't care what happens to you. He doesn't care about the fact that our children all over the United States are being exposed to measles, polio, who knows what else? Diseases that we conquered years ago, but which are not any longer conquered because we have got some people out here who don't want to vaccinate the kids. It's all so ridiculous and actually so unnecessary for the Republicans from their standpoint, because look, if they wanted to win this election, all they have to do is stop talking. Just cut it out. Because all these extreme positions are turning off people all over the country. Even some of these crazed MAGA people may be turned off by some of the things that are being said. They're so ridiculous. You know, we're going to spend some time, state by state, having some fun with this election as we get into August, September, October. And the reason we're going to do that is because I got a class and a school really filled with students who are setting up teams, and they're going to get the polls and they're going to mark them off state by state with the delegates for each state, the numbers, and they are going to be pretty close to having a really strong guess by the end of October as to what the election's going to look like state by state in the Electoral College. And we'll bring them up on the air. They'll come up here. They'll come on in the morning with Vic and Liz. So I can tell you that, you know, you're going to hear more about these kids. They're really going to work. I mean, they're not kids, but they're young people. And they're going to get on top of this election in a way that really anybody in high school or college should do. They really should. It's a great learning opportunity. These students are going to do it. Most, I guess, won't. I've talked it around to many people at other schools. Everybody thinks it's great, but nobody feels that they've got the ability to do it because they don't think they have any time, because they think the state standards will require them to do something else, which, by the way, is another subject for another day, but is pretty sad that students can't spend 12 weeks focusing in on what is probably an existential election in the United States, because, you know, if we lose, we probably lose democracy. I know J.D. Vance says that those words by Joe Biden are what killed one quarter of Donald's ear. But, yeah, I shouldn't joke about it. It's not funny, but he did lose a quarter of an ear. Anyway, he's losing more than that because he lost his mind long ago. Are you hungry? 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road. That's Wendy's. Wendy's is a terrific place to eat. Dinner, lunch, bang down the door in the middle of the night. No, don't do that. You'll get in trouble. But anyway, they have great food. And it all starts with wings. Everybody loves the wings, and the meats, the smoked meats are really excellent, they say. I haven't eaten that myself. You know, I stick with my favorite, which is baby back ribs. I forced a plate of baby back ribs on Ray Hartman a couple of weeks ago. Actually, I didn't. You know, I say things, not always true. He wanted those ribs. I didn't force him. But anyway, Wendy's is the place to go. You can get hamburgers and cheeseburgers and salads and just everything good. The food is excellent. The atmosphere is really just great for a restaurant. Ben and his wife have made this place fantastic. It's Wendy's, 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road. And of course, after you eat everything you can at Wendy's on Chesterfield Airport Road, you can go straight to Defiance, Missouri. And then you'll have the opportunity to get the same great food again. $29.99 South Highway 94 in Defiance. That's Wendy's. Baby back ribs and onion rings for me, but you buy whatever you want at Wendy's. Okay, 4506 Hampton. That's the jewelry store. That's Jewels on Hampton. And Al and his son AJ just have a fabulous business there. They buy and sell coins and jewels because that's part of their business. But I can tell you right now, if you're a buyer or a seller in that deal, you're going to come out really well because they offer great prices to the public. They are fair. They're good people. They're trustworthy. Anytime you go down there, you meet Al and AJ. Everybody loves them. They're just good people. 4506 Hampton, they've got cases and cases and cases filled with jewelry. It's just a great place to shop for any jewelry you want. They'll also design jewelry for you. They'll do it your way. They'll do it their way if you give them the chance to show you their creative designs. They'll do that for you too. And after all is said and done, they'll fix your watches for you. They just do. They're good. Everything. Jewelry. Anything in jewelry, they're the best. They'll fix your watches at Jewels on Hampton, and they'll send you on your way with great deals. So check them out at 4506 Hampton. And finally, St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton will always get you the best suits you can find. But as I always tell you, the ties are incredible. I mean, they're all nice ties. They're silk. They've got great designs. But that's not the main point. Or maybe it is the main point. But the next point is that they're $5 for great ties. I mean, it'd be one thing if we said $5 and the ties are terrible, but at least you can pretend. No. There's no pretending at the St. Louis Suit Company. The ties are beautiful. The prices are low. They've got suits. They've got shirts. They've got shoes. Tennis shoes, too. You know, I'm into this new fashion thing. Sport coats and suit coats and blue jeans and chucks. But yeah, you can put it all together and end up at the St. Louis Suit Company, get great deals. You'll love them. Jay and Nick and the rest of their family, too, they're all there at the St. Louis Suit Company, which has been there for 29 years. It's not an accident. And on top of all of that, if you're getting married or if you know somebody that's getting married, they are terrific when it comes to wedding attire. They're famous for it, and that's the St. Louis Suit Company. They're on the corner of Forsyth and Central in Clayton, 29 years. Go visit Jay and Nick. Okay. So let me tell you something that Joe Biden wants to do, which, by the way, it's probably not a great idea. In just this general sense of what we'd all like, it may be a good idea, but in an economic sense, it's probably asking for trouble. But his latest idea is to cap rent increases at 5% per year. Now, don't get me wrong. I've said myself, housing is one of the biggest problems in the economy. The rents all over the United States are going up far too much. There's the story that I've told, which is true, and that is an area in San Francisco where the median house mortgage is $28,000 per month. $28,000 a month. Who can afford that? 10 months into it, you've spent $280,000 on rent, and you still haven't gotten the last 2 months in. That's another $56,000. You get it? That's $330,000 per year to live in a house? You got to be kidding. Well, anyway, luckily it's not everywhere in the United States like that, but here's the point. Rents go up a lot right now, and people can't afford it. And Joe Biden wants to step in and cap those rents at 5%. 5% increases. Here's the problem. There's only so far you can go in trying to control prices in an economy. I can tell you the perfect example was Herbert Hoover in the 1930s. You know, when the stock market crashed and prices were collapsing everywhere, Hoover had this brilliant idea. Don't lower the prices. Well, guess what? They lowered them for a reason, because people had no money and they couldn't afford to buy anything at the prices that were higher. So if you wanted to sell something, you were going to have to lower your prices. That's the problem with deflation. It is a disastrous situation. You don't want it. Well, we're lucky so far. Right now, we haven't got it. And capping the rents at 5% won't create a depression or anything like that. But it will have some nasty consequences. And I can tell you right now, it's probably not the way to do this. I don't know. I assume if he wins the presidency, he's going to try it. I get it. It'll be popular. The only way you could really do it is if the United States government pays the difference. And that's going to be an expensive proposition in itself. And believe me, I'm all for government spending money on everything. But you can only go so far. We'll see. But it is an idea that they've come up with. And I do believe that they're going to press forward with this. And they're certainly going to get some people to like it. For the simple reason, it sounds good. You want your rent to go up 10 or 20% next year? I don't think so. So if Joe Biden promises that he can cap it at 5%, you might be enticed, maybe. But it's still not a great idea. So that's a Joe Biden story for you. So just to be fair, you know, everything he does isn't perfect or right. But he's trying to do the right thing. There's no doubt about that. I mean, it's not a crazy idea. It's just probably not a very economically sound idea. He's trying because there are problems out here. And he knows that he didn't cause this. This isn't something he did, but it's something he would like to try to fix. And it's also something that he realizes that if he could get something to work in this regard, that he could probably buy himself a few votes. Don't get too bent out of shape. Everything Donald is doing is 1,000 times worse than anything remotely connected to a 5% cap on rents. For example, they want to put a cap on student loan payments at 5% of your income per month. It was 10%. Now it would go down to 5%. That you can do, and it's a good idea. Because here's the deal. The United States government's going to end up paying off all those loans anyway. We're going to write them off. That's $1.3 trillion. And I'm telling you right now, it is not going to get paid. It's just not. The United States government is going to pay the freight on those loans. We got to get out of the loan business, and we got to start sending people to college for free. Now, that means you're going to pay the bill, but if you send them to community college for 2 years, that's one way to do it. And then after that, they go to a four-year college for the last two. And I'll tell you right now, if you pay the bills for this, the country will boom as a result. How do I know? Because we've done it. We did it after World War II, and it was one of the most successful government programs that we've ever created. It worked. So there's no longer a discussion as to whether it works or not. It works. You end up with an educated population that goes to work. They're productive. They come up with brilliant ideas. It's just smart. It's a smart expense for government money. Now, we owe a lot of money. It's true. $30 plus trillion dollars. 120% of GDP. It's not that high, really. We were 140% after World War II, and we did great. China is over 250% of gross domestic product in debt. And, of course, their economy has already slowed down tremendously. Everybody talked about how China was going to own us. And right now, China can barely own China. So it's funny how these things work out, especially when so many people in the country are so uneducated when it comes to economics. And I remind you, if you get an opportunity, there is that movie out there that is hard to find at the moment. But if you find it and you get an opportunity, it's called America's Burning. It is a documentary. It includes the narration by Michael Douglas. And it's all about how the United States needs to develop economic understanding for everybody. People in the United States, the greatest capitalist country in the world, this incredible capitalist engine of economic success, which actually is today the strongest economy on the entire planet, according to every known economist in the United States, outside of the United States, except for, of course, Stephen Moore, who's quacking his way like a duck to Donald Trump's house. So, yeah, he doesn't know anything. And Donald doesn't know anything, and he says that our economy is collapsing. But again, he doesn't know anything. So this is the bottom line to it. We're a great country. But we can be better. And we definitely need our citizens to understand how economics work so that we just aren't walking around here staring around into space and saying dumb things, which we do. So many of our people do. We all think that there's someone out there that's coming to get us. They're setting gas prices in order to gouge us. They're doing all kinds of things to ruin our lives, according to Donald and his people. And of course, they think that they can block out all these horrible foreign actors by simply throwing up a bunch of tariffs, and then everything will be okay. The only problem is, the last time we tried this, we ended in a global depression, 1930s. So, want to try it again? You know what Einstein said about doing the same thing over and over and getting the same result. It's insanity. But of course, that's what Mary Trump has told you about Donald, that he is quite insane. Speaking of insane, Donald does believe that he's going to walk away with billions from that idiotic company of his, which is back to sinking into the sunset again. I didn't see the final price today, but that's okay. I can give it to you real quick just for the heck of it. We'll check to see how Donald's net worth is coming along here. I'll give you an update. Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, it's down $4 today. So that's about a half $1 billion he lost, down at $37 a share. At least it's not the low for the day. It got as low as 35 and a fraction. So, yeah, Donald's lost another half $1 billion. But he's got a little bit left. At least a little bit left if he can hold on to it until September, which, you know, this is July. Then he's got to make it through August. I'm saying $1 for that insane thing that he calls a company. I mean, I can't call it a company. I just can't say it. It's too stupid to say it. It's a SPAC, which is a special purpose acquisition company. And basically all that is a deal where you put up a bunch of money and you roll the dice and you own something and you don't know what it is. Well, these people own, this Trump deal. Like I said, I'm not going to call it a company. He calls it, it's so funny. I'll tell you what he calls it. I'll say the name once. Trump Media, which it's no, I mean, he's got that idiotic Truth Social, which I shouldn't even say that name because it's not truth and it's not social. But anyway, he calls it Trump Media and Technology Group. He is such a lying criminal. There isn't one thing about what he's got that is technology, except for probably he and his family own cell phones. So if they want to call that technology, they could do that. They have lost $58 million in 3 years. And their revenue was like $5 million last year. And they just lose enormous amounts of money. It's a joke. And it's going to sell, I'm telling you, in September when he can get out, look for DJT. That's another thing. Look at that. Because he's Donald J. Trump, he calls the symbol DJT. It's all very foolish. He's so proud of it that, you know, the thing was 80. It's now down into the 30s. That's, you know, almost $50 a share. He's got 114 million shares. So basically, he's lost $6 billion. So maybe he's got $4 billion left. And give him a month and a half. He'll get that down to almost zero. I've said a dollar. We can go with that. We'll call it $1. So that's, I'm not even going to say the name anymore. I never said it before, and I just said it once just because I wanted you to hear that technology piece in there, because they don't sell any technology. They don't do anything that's technology. Except for maybe they can answer a cell phone. Okay, pretty good. Or they can look something up on Google, which I don't even know that he could do that much because you know the man can't read. Well, I shouldn't say can't read. He does read before he goes to sleep at night the speeches of Adolf Hitler. So now we've got some confirmation because, you know, originally only Marla Maples, that previous wife, she said that Donald read Hitler's speeches before he went to sleep at night. And now J.D. Vance, the vice president, is here, who has told us that this is America's Hitler. So, you know, it's not just me. When I start that neo-Nazi stuff, it's plenty of people out there saying it, including Donald's good friends and vice president. Well, he won't be a vice president anyway. And after August 16th, that'll be the end of him. Okay. As far as people who have the end of the road, I saved this one for last. And that's our good friend, Aileen Cannon, who yesterday tossed out Donald Trump's case in Florida, stolen documents, obstructing justice. I mean, let's not forget what that's all about. Not only did Donald take the documents home, which other people have done as well. We know that Biden did it, and we know that Pence did it, and others have done it. But not like this. I mean, this guy's got nuclear secrets and all kinds of stuff that he had sitting in his basement. And on top of all of that, when the FBI came to get it, Donald told his people to hide it, to flood the basement so that they couldn't find it or get it. He did everything you can do to get yourself put in jail. And along comes Aileen Cannon. She gets the case, and she has at every turn done everything possible to protect Donald. And then she did something that's really baffling me. She ended this case yesterday, which means she didn't wait for the jury. Because, you know, she told Donald, if you wait for the jury, I can end this thing so that you get double jeopardy attaching. And that'll be the end of the case. They can't file it again. You're done. You've won. Well, Donald thinks he's won. But here's the problem. No double jeopardy. Jack Smith is appealing this case to the 11th District. And we already know what the 11th District has done. They have taken this woman and they have wiped out her two previous decisions that were lunacy. And they're probably going to do it again. And after the third one, Jack Smith can get this lady tossed and reinstate the whole case. And Donald's got trouble. Big trouble. Now, it could be worse for Donald. It could be worse because actually Jack Smith could go out and file a whole new case and create some real problems for Donald. But apparently that also creates some potential trouble for Jack Smith, things that he could deal with from a legal standpoint. But, you know, I'm no lawyer, so I'm not going to try to explain something to you that's over my head. But as you all know, if you're not watching the weather reports on Fox, you can go to MSNBC. You can go there tonight, and I assure you, they will explain to you exactly what I've heard repeatedly, and that is the options that Jack Smith has in dealing with Aileen Cannon's stupid decision to toss that case out yesterday. I mean, even with what she's doing, she should have just waited so she could get it tossed out properly so she wouldn't end up in trouble. And now it looks like she's headed for big trouble, but apparently she wants it and she's got it. So I'll be back tomorrow. Of course, this is Showdown and brought to you by Jewels on Hampton, St. Louis Suit Company, and Wendy's. I'm Mark Kaysen. Good night.